Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 74, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. We've got a big show for you this week, starting off with the news that Foxtel will be offering more than just pay TV in 2014. And with Christmas just around the corner, eBay is also preparing for an online shopping onslaught, while a choice investigation brings the need for extended warranties into question. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to take a look at the eagerly awaited PlayStation 4 from Sony, the HTC One Max, and the device that will turn you into an expert gardener. And of course, we'll be answering your tech questions in the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through right here on Tech Guide. Well, Foxtel is obviously very well known as a pay TV company, but the news that's just been released over the weekend is that they're going to be offering more services than just television in 2014. And those new services are going to include broadband internet and fixed line telephony. Now, as you all know, Foxtel is half owned by Telstra. The other half is owned by News Australia. And this move has been ratified by the shareholders of both Telstra and News Australia, along with an agreement with Telstra to resell wholesale services. So in other words, the telephone and broadband. But what this means is that the Foxtel will be able to, on top of their normal pay TV bundles, will also be able to offer fixed line broadband, either through Telstra's ADSL network or the NBN as it's deployed. But the other half of that is also telephony. So rather than offering just broadband, they're going to throw in the telephony as well. So what Foxtel envisages for their customers is that you will be able to have your TV, pay TV, broadband, and the telephone all through the one cable, the one service. And what this also offers, the other advantage of that, is the fact that customers will get not only pretty competitive pricing, but they'll also get unmetered access to some of their IP services. Like we all know about Foxtel Go and their new on-demand services. So if you're using them on your home broadband network, that service will then go unmetered. So that's at the moment, if you're a Foxtel customer, a Telstra broadband customer using these Foxtel IP services, that is unmetered. But obviously Foxtel, if you're using their broadband services, are also going to make that unmetered as well. But you know what? It all comes back to the new iQ3 set-top box that we're waiting to see in 2014. This is going to be at the heart of all of these services. The iQ3 is IP-enabled, so it will be a super set-top box that will allow broadband and telephony to come to be piped through, along with your pay TV, of course, all through the one set-top box. So we're going to, they have said the services won't be available till late 2014, but I'm sure we'll see plans and pricing well before that launch date. Interesting move on Foxtel's part there. They really made a move in the IP area, as we spoke about. Foxtel Go, they're on demand. A lot of their services added a lot of value for customers. So I think to continue that value proposition, Foxtel is entering these bold new areas. And we'll be interested to see just how competitive their prices are, because don't forget, half owned by Telstra, Telstra are reselling their services. So they're obviously going to be offer some kind of bundle deal that will attract not only new customers, but encourage existing customers to take up these offers. We're going to be keeping a very close eye on this story. Foxtel expanding outside of pay TV. You can read all about that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, we're already into December, and you know what that means. It's nearly Christmas, and we're going to do a lot of our shopping online this year. And we say it every year, it's going to be the biggest year for online shopping for Christmas, and it always is. And what do we do every year? We go even further. Now, one of the biggest online destinations for many users is eBay. And eBay have announced that they are preparing for the biggest day of mobile shopping ever on Sunday, December the 8th. I'm recording this on a Monday night. So this coming Sunday, you're going to eBay are anticipating 2.3 million Australians will visit that's the Aussie site alone we're talking, ebay.com.au. So 2.3 million visitors to that site on that day. But here's the record part of these stats. 1.28 million are going to be shopping via their mobile device. And this is an increase, or an anticipated increase, of 30% more than last year's busiest day, which was actually December the 9th last year. So eBay says it's going to be selling more than 390,000 items on December the 8th. And the mobile shoppers, though, will account for 140,000 of those items worth about $5 million. Again, an increase of 40% over last year. That is a rate of 200 items sold every minute. So there's been a perfect storm of factors for eBay here. Low interest rates, Christmas around the corner, people in a giving mood, getting online, and it's going to result in this record sales, record mobile shopping anyway, at least for eBay. December the 8th is going to be the day. But eBay also announced some very interesting stats about what they're expected to sell. And I'm going to run through some of them right now. A piece of women's clothing will be sold every 4 seconds. A DVD will be sold every 6 seconds. A piece of men's clothing every 12 seconds. A piece of furniture every 24 seconds. A radio-controlled toy every 29 seconds. And a pair of women's shoes every 36 seconds. I would have thought that would have been a bit higher. Women's shoes would be a hot item on eBay. Maybe not secondhand shoes, I guess, but no, that's quite impressive nonetheless. If you're an eBay customer, December 8 is the day that eBay is anticipating all of these people be online. If you're selling stuff on eBay, be sure that it is online on December the 8th because you're going to get a large increase of customers. eBay, you can read all those stats and all that information at techguide.com.au. The people over at Choice Magazine have done a very interesting investigation. They've gone into some stores, some electrical stores around Australia, posing as two journalists, posing as just regular customers looking to buy a big screen television, looking to spend around $2,500. Now, what the investigation was trying to do was to see if the people at store level understood Australian consumer law and what it's interpreted with warranties and extended warranties. Now, consumer protection laws were introduced in 2011, so they changed slightly, and basically that said that the customer has a right to a refund, a repair, or a replacement after a reasonable time after purchase. The common misconception here is that as soon as your warranty is up, you're left high and dry. If, for example, a 12-month warranty and something goes wrong with your device 1 year and 1 day later after purchase, that you're on your own. That's kind of been the feeling out there with customers, stores kind of giving that impression as well. The Choice journalist found that 85% of sales staff stated that the store had no responsibility after the manufacturer's warranty ran out, which is wrong. So that's alarming. 85% don't know the law. Well, the laws are on the customer's side here. So basically what they're trying to say is these new consumer protection laws mean that if a customer goes out and spends a reasonable amount of money on a television, they have a reasonable expectation that that device will work well into the future. You're going to spend $2,500 on a TV, you'd expect to at least get 5 years' use out of this product. So that brings then into question the need, if at all necessary, an extended warranty. So when in the stores, the store staff are saying, well, look, they upsell you the extended warranty. To them, it's free money. There's not many people who take advantage of that who have a problem with their product. 9 times out of 10, everything runs fine for 5 to 6 years. That's money in the store's pocket for free, that extended warranty. So it's no wonder they try to upsell you at the point of sale. But these laws really bring that into question, and the question is whether we actually need it. So if something does happen to go wrong 3 years after you purchase a television, even though it's only got a 12-month or two-year warranty, you are still protected. The law is on your side. So the store has a responsibility to you as a customer. How many times have you heard when something goes wrong, well, you're going to have to contact the manufacturer, it's out of our hands? Wrong. It's not out of their hands. The store has a relationship with you, the customer. It is up to them to chase this down, repair, replace, or refund as quickly as possible for you, the customer. So very important that we know our rights around here. So there's some tips that Choice have given the customers and their rights to a refund. Here are your rights to a refund. If a product is of acceptable quality, the retailer can't charge you for fixing it. Retailers can't just refer you to the manufacturer. They are obliged to resolve your issue. And if the problem is major, you can ask for a refund or replacement rather than a repair. And you should be informed if a replacement is secondhand or if they've used refurbished parts to repair it. Now, there's also this concept that you need to return a product in its original packaging. Like, how many people keep the TV, the box their TV came in? So not many people do that. So that's a myth. If you've lost your receipt, you can use as proof of purchase either a credit card statement, a confirmation or receipt number for a phone or internet transaction, a warranty card showing the date, price and place of purchase, or the serial or product number if it's been stored on a retailer's computer. So some interesting tips there. So I think people are under the misconception that, you know, they need to buy these extended warranties to protect themselves. The law's already on your side. A very interesting investigation. Great work there by Choice. If you want to read up that story, you can do that at my site. But be sure that you, especially if you're out there shopping for a major item this summer, make sure that you realize the law's on your side. If something goes wrong, the store has an obligation to you to sort it out. You're listening to Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Well, they have a new product called the PTV 3000 Push-to-TV Wireless Display Adapter. And as its name suggests, it's a device to take all that great content, your photos, your videos, music and apps, right off your small screen on your mobile and wirelessly transfer it to your big screen, your full high-definition television. Push-to-TV will mirror whatever is displayed on your Intel WiDi or Miracast-supported smartphone, and there are plenty of them, the Galaxy S4, the Galaxy Note 3, the LG Optimus G, HTC One. There's so many of them, whether it's a phone, some tablets are supported too, or your laptop screen. If you've got a Miracast laptop, you can wirelessly send your screen to your HD TV. So now you can browse the internet, play your favorite online videos, enjoy a slideshow of your photos wirelessly on your TV without having to look for a cable and connect it physically to the television. Push to TV supports up to 1080p HD and 5.1 surround sound for an awesome home entertainment experience. So if you want to see more, check out Netgear's Push to TV wireless display adapter at netgear.com.au/push to TV.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Well, it is very hard to go past the major product that was released late last week, and that is the Sony PlayStation 4 gaming console. We've done a full review on Tech Guide, and this device, this product, is red hot. If you haven't pre-ordered the PlayStation, I was reading today on Twitter that if you haven't ordered the PlayStation 4 and not picking it up with a pre-order, you're going to be waiting if you want one till March next year is what we're hearing. Hopefully that is not true, that you'll be able to get it sooner, but at least you're going to be waiting till early 2014 if you did not pre-order this product. That's how much in demand this product is, because the PlayStation 3 came out 7 years ago. It's a long time between drinks here. This isn't a product that's updated once a year. This is a every 7 to 8 year event. The Xbox One, it was 8 years after the Xbox 360, and it's gone nuts too, selling really well. PlayStation 4 is here now, and it is seeing similar sell-through popularity as well. Now, PlayStation 4 has an all-new design. It's got like a wedge shape at the front. It's got sort of dual layer look where the disc slides in between the layers. Under the hood, though, is where all the work has been done. It's got an x86 64 AMD 8-core processor, Radeon-based graphics engine, and it's got 8 gig of RAM, 500 gig hard drive. Now, that adds up to a lot of headroom for developers to create some amazing games. And at launch, there are a few titles that will impress you by how it takes advantage of these higher specs and really showcases the PlayStation 4's ability. We'll talk about them in a minute. But some of the features are on the PlayStation. Now, we should get it clear here. Sony's marketing approach is that this is for the players. And you know what? They are dead on. Most of the features are aimed at enhancing the gaming experience. Now, it can connect to things. It can get download content, get your music and movies, and down the track, we'll probably do more with TV and other things like that. But from the get-go, from launch, gaming is where it's at. It's at the heart of the PlayStation 4. It is also a connected device too, so the PlayStation Network, connecting you to your friends online, being able to share your gaming experiences so you can take a snapshot or a video of what you're doing. You can even watch a friend live, play a game live through your connection, and vice versa. They can watch you live if you choose to broadcast what you're doing. You happen to be having a terrific level in your game, you want to share it with your friends who you know are online, they can view it live. So you can broadcast that, and as I said, vice versa, you can do the same for your friends. Some other features too, you can obviously share to Facebook and Twitter. You can also extend your gameplay with the new PlayStation app, and that's for iOS, so that's for iPhone and iPad, and also for Android devices. So you can do things like order content or games, and they'll be waiting on your platform when you get home. So if you're out and about, you can still keep in touch with your friends and download your content, and it's all synced up ready for you to go by the time you get home. You can also, what I like too, is another feature called Remote Play. Now, imagine this scenario. Your PlayStation 4 is connected to the TV in the lounge room, and your partner, your wife, your girlfriend, whoever, is watching something on the TV, and you don't want to disturb their viewing. But you can still play the PlayStation 4 remotely. But you need a PlayStation Vita, that's the portable PlayStation system, to achieve that. Now, if your PlayStation Vita is on the same network as your PlayStation 4, you can wirelessly play the disc that's inside your PlayStation 4 on your PlayStation Vita. So you're not going to miss out on your gameplay. You're still going to be able to pick up that level that you were at on the PlayStation Vita anywhere on your home network. That is a really cool feature and one of our favorites. The interface had a really big redesign as well. It's a lot cleaner, a lot sleeker, a lot less happening on the screen. It's easy to navigate. And this is where you can access, obviously, the PlayStation Store, the game, content, and the PlayStation Network, all your other friends as well. Another big change too to the controller. The DualShock 4 controller has had a pretty major makeover. All the basics are still there. You've still got your analog sticks and your buttons and your D-pad and your triggers. But there is now a touchpad on the top of the controller, and it allows you not only to press that, so it's a pressable button, the whole panel, but it's also touch sensitive, so you can slide to the left, slide to the right, up or down to activate various features in the game. Their game, Killzone Shadow Warrior, is one of those titles that takes advantage of it. Killzone Shadowfall, it takes advantage of that touchscreen. So sliding to the left activates the owl, which is that remote robotic soldier that flies around with you during the game. Sliding to the right, up and down, it activates various features during the game. So it's quite easy to access. Also at the front is a light so that the controller can actually recognize each, so if there's multiple players, multiple controllers in the room, these lights will shine all different colors so that the device will know who's who, where you're at, in case you're playing a multiplayer game. Accessories, there's a few of them. Unlike the Xbox One, where you get the Kinect, which has the built-in camera and microphone, the PlayStation camera is sold separately. So if you want to jump in and have that, the PlayStation camera and the microphone, so if you want to talk to your PlayStation console, you can talk to your Xbox One, you need to spend extra money. But on Sony's in Sony's favor here, their PlayStation is slightly cheaper. It's $549 compared to $599 for the Xbox One. Now let's talk about the games. As I mentioned, Killzone Shadowfall is probably the major exclusive title for the PlayStation 4. You got to remember, the Killzone franchise has been running since the PlayStation 3, so it's had quite a relationship with the PlayStation platform. There's another exclusive title called Knack, which is aimed for all ages. It's an action-adventure game where the main character, you can control him. He's got all these amazing powers and abilities. And then there's also the big ones, the big titles like Call of Duty Ghosts, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, Battlefield 4, Madden 25, Lego, Marvel, Superheroes, the list goes on. But down the track, you're going to see even more PlayStation exclusive titles, including Infamous, Second Son, Drive Club, a kind of social driving game, War Thunder, and Resogun. So plenty to look forward to. If you're a PlayStation convert, I've reviewed it on Tech Guide. Now, if you are a PlayStation fan, the PlayStation 4 will draw you across. I don't think any Xbox One or Xbox devotees are going to suddenly ditch the Xbox for the PlayStation 4. It's very much, PlayStation 4 is very much just keeping everyone within the ecosystem. So if you are a PlayStation player, then PlayStation 4 is really going to suit you down to the ground. A word of note too, though, if you have an older PS3 console and a library of games, they are not, I repeat, not going to work on the PlayStation 4. It's the same thing for the Xbox One. If you have the Xbox 360 games, they're not going to work on Xbox One either. So hang on to your cold older consoles. Hang on to your old titles because you're going to need them. You're going to need both of those things for you to continue to play them into the future. PlayStation 4, priced at $549. You can read my complete review at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Moving on, we're going to look at a smartphone, the new HTC One Max. Now, the HTC One has been quite a popular product, very popular smartphone, very highly rated over at the Tech Guide offices. So we were very excited to see the HTC One Max. Now, it gets its name Max because it's maximized the screen size. It's a 5.9-inch full HD screen. That's the standout feature. The other feature that's quite attractive is also the fingerprint reader. That's located on the back of the product. Now, it's an Android device, but it's also running HTC's Sense user interface. And that includes, as it did with the HTC One and HTC One Mini, the Blink feed, which gathers all your social media content and aggregates it into one feed that's right there on your home screen. So no need to go into each individual app. It's all funneled right there on your home screen. Now, one big difference with the HTC One Max, apart from the screen size, which is much larger, one difference between it and the HTC One and the HTC One Mini, it has a removable back panel. Now, that enables users to easily install the SIM card, but also allows them to install a micro SD card to increase the memory, the memory capacity of the device. Now, the reason for that is that this is, and this is HTC, these are HTC's words, this is mainly a content consumption device. It's got a large screen so you can enjoy your content, your videos, your photos, your apps, browsing the web. It's to consume content. It's too big to lug around as your camera, your everyday camera. So those sort of activities are probably, you need a smaller device if you really want a good camera. This has got a decent camera. It's got an ultra pixel camera, which takes respectable photos, but it's just not practical. If you're going to be taking lots and lots of photos, this is just too big for that job. It's more to enjoy your content. There's no saying you can't do that, but that's not really what it was designed for. If you're taking a lot of photos, it's good to have something smaller and lighter so you can take it anywhere, pull it in and out of your bag whenever you need to. HTC One Max is meant to be more a lean back device where you can enjoy the content rather than creating it and editing it aboard the product. Now the HTC One Max, as I mentioned, has that removable back cover. Now we had a problem with this, and please check out my review on Tech Guide. Now HTC were really talking up the fact that this is a quality device, it's gorgeous, it's precision built, unibody design, but we had a problem when we remove the back panel. We couldn't put it back on again properly. Now, if you'd gone out and bought this device, and that would be very frustrating to us. Our review model that we had here in the Tech Guide offices, we tried to get that panel back on, and no matter how hard we tried, no matter how hard we clicked, the top right-hand corner just would not go back in. The edge of it hung out of the back of the phone. And that, to me, really disappointed us. It wouldn't sit flush at all on the back of the product, and we actually had to put the case that came with the device, a little snap-on case, on the back of the product so that we wouldn't catch our clothes or anything wouldn't catch on it when we were putting it in our pocket or using it near our ear or whatever we were going to do. But yeah, that was a little bit disappointing. The fingerprint scanner, that worked most of the time. Often it didn't work and we had to enter a password. So that was a bit frustrating if you really wanted to get into the device really quickly. So yeah, that was a little bit of a letdown. But on the positive side though, the camera is very good. The battery life is excellent. If you're one of these people who really use your smartphone hard or a heavy duty user, you're going to get a lot of battery life out of the HTC One Max. That's one advantage. It's a big device. It's also got a big battery. So that's a real plus in the plus column for the HTC One Max. If you're a HTC fan, check out our review. It's at techguide.com.au. Available now, the HTC One Max, exclusively through Telstra. You can buy it $816 outright or on a Telstra plan. Please go to Tech Guide and check out our rating that we gave for the HTC One Max. Now, if you're a gardener or a frustrated gardener, we've got a product that can really turn you and really give you a green thumb. Now, for those who don't know what that term means, green thumb means you can grow anything. But the new device from Parrot Flower Power, this is a product that can really help you and your plants thrive. You want healthier plants? Here's the way to get it. The Parrot Flower Power is a sensor. It actually looks like a little bit of a plant itself. It's available in green or brown, so it sort of blends in with the plant. But what it actually is that you stick it into the soil, whether it's in a pot or in open ground, it is a sensor that then can communicate wirelessly using Bluetooth to an app on your iPhone or iPad. So basically what happens is you choose the plant that you're going to put the plant, the Parrot Flower Power inside in the soil. You open the app and tell the app what sort of plant it is. And then the app will then go out and look at its vast database and find out all that information for you so that you know exactly what sort of plant it is and you know the demands of the plant, how much water it needs, how much light it needs. Now, the sensor then comes into play by telling you the conditions of the plant. So it kind of gives the plant a voice. It tells you, oh, you've overwatered it, or it needs water. You need to give it more light. You're giving it too much light. So it takes all these conditions into account. Now, the things that are important for a plant are things like soil moisture, the amount of light that it's getting, ambient temperature, the type of fertilizer you're using. So the device can monitor all those areas for you so that it can respond in real time if any of these needs are not being met. How cool is that? If you want to help your plants thrive, then the Parrot Flower Power is available now. There's so much information in this app. There's more than 6,000 varieties of plants aboard the database that have been collected from respectable universities around the world. So if you're into your gardening and you want to make your plants thrive, you want to make them grow more healthy than ever before, then you really need to check out the Parrot Flower Power, available now in selected retailers and Apple stores. It's priced at $79.99.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Oh, I thought it'd be appropriate this week, our Tech Guide Help Desk, we really should dedicate it to the digital TV switchover. Now, it's December 3 is going to be the day when the analog TV signal is cut off. It is going to be turned off forever. So if you don't have a digital set-top box or a TV with a digital tuner built in, all you're going to be seeing is snow from December the 3rd onwards. Now, we've had plenty of warning for this day. We knew this day was going to come many, many years ago. December the 3rd, 2013 seemed like ages ago. Well, the day's finally here. If you haven't prepared for this, and the stats show that there is a small percentage of people who haven't made these preparations, then it's your last chance to come across, buy a set-top box or invest in a new television with a built-in digital TV tuner for you to continue enjoying free-to-air TV. More than 8.5 million Sydney households alone have made the switch to digital, but they're still around, and this was a couple of months ago, they were saying there's still 6% of households in Sydney haven't converted. Now, if you need some more information, you may be, I don't know whether you, maybe you know an elderly person or a grandparent who hasn't made the switch yet, you can call 1800 20 10 13. That's 1800 20 10 13 to get help from the government. They're entitled, pensioners, elderly people, elderly Australians are entitled a bit of a hand to help them so they're not left behind and left in the dark without a television. Or you can go to digitalready.gov.au. That's the Household Assistance Scheme. So if you're an eligible pensioner and you're yet to make the conversion, they can help you out with that. So that number again, 1800 20 10 13. We don't want to leave anyone in the dark. So if you've got an older TV, so easy way to look at the TV, if it's got a red, white, yellow connections on the back, you can at least have standard definition, a set-top box, so you can connect that. Standard definition set-top box costs as little as $25. If your TV has a HDMI connection but no tuner on board, you can buy a HD tuner so you can get high definition. But if you've already got a TV, flat-screen TV with a built-in tuner, or you've got Foxtel, or you've already got a set-top box, then you're good to go. But keep an eye out. If there's any elderly neighbours or relatives or people who haven't made the switch, you can help them out. You can go to digitalready.gov.au. And that's our show for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. You can read about everything we've talked about at techguide.com.au. And if you want to send us an email, you can address that to info@techguide.com.au. Send us your help desk questions to our Tech Guide forum. A lot of our readers are sending their questions to the forum and having that question answered by myself or our many readers. A special thanks too to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. We've loved having your company. We look forward for you tuning again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.